Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. Out of the East Spices and the Medieval Imagination is a scholarly history of food, trade, and culture by medieval historian Paul Friedman. The book examines how spices were understood in medieval Europe, not only as commodities, but also as objects loaded with medical, moral, religious, and social meaning. Rather than treating spices as a simple luxury market, Friedman places them inside the mental world of the Middle Ages, showing how people explained their origins, value, and uses through inherited ideas about health, status, distance, and wonder. The result is both a history of commerce and a study of perception, why spice mattered, who could obtain it, and how it shaped European ideas about the wider world. The book is especially important for readers interested in the intersection of food history, economic exchange, and medieval cultural imagination. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, spices is more than luxury goods in medieval Europe. A central contribution of the book is its rejection of the oversimplified view that spices were merely rare status symbols for elites. Friedman treats spice as a category that had practical, symbolic, and intellectual value at the same time. In medieval Europe, spices were used in cooking, medicine, perfumery, ritual, and display, so their meaning depended on context. This broader view helps explain why spices were discussed so intensely in relation to class and consumption. They could signal wealth, but they were also embedded in everyday habits of elite households and in learned theories of health and diet. By restoring that complexity, the book shows that spice culture cannot be reduced to a story of extravagance. It becomes a window into how medieval consumers understood refinement, bodily care, and social distinction. That approach is important because it changes the question from who could afford spices to why they mattered so much across different areas of medieval life. Secondly, the medieval imagination and the geography of wonder. Friedman's title signals one of the book's most distinctive concerns, the way Europeans imagined the East as the source of exotic goods. The book explores how spices were tied to distance, marvel, and uncertainty, making their geographic origin part of their cultural power. Medieval people often knew spices through trade rather than direct experience, so the Eastern world became a zone of projection as much as a real place. This allowed spices to acquire a symbolic charge that exceeded their material uses. They suggested foreignness, abundance, and access to hidden knowledge, but also dependence on long and unstable trade networks. Friedman uses this theme to show that commercial goods can shape imagination as much as imagination shapes commerce. The East was not only a route of supply. It was also a conceptual space through which Europeans organized ideas about rarity, desire, and prestige. That makes the book valuable for understanding how economic exchange and mental maps were intertwined in medieval culture. Thirdly, trade routes, intermediaries, and the movement of spice into Europe. The book pays close attention to the long chains of exchange that brought spices into medieval Europe. Rather than presenting trade as a direct connection between East and West, Friedman emphasizes the layered system of intermediaries, transport costs, and shifting routes that determined what arrived in European markets. This matters because spice history is often told as a simple narrative of discovery. But the medieval reality was a complex web of commercial relationships across regions and communities. By focusing on distribution rather than only consumption, the book highlights the infrastructure behind luxury. Spices had to move across seas and land routes, pass through multiple hands, and survive political and commercial disruption. That made them both available and uncertain, common in some settings and inaccessible in others. The result is a more grounded understanding of globalization before modern industrial trade. Friedman shows that the circulation of spices reveals the medieval economy as interconnected, hierarchical, and dependent on information, trust, and exchange networks. Fourthly, medicine, diet, and the authority of learned culture. Another important dimension of the book is the role of spices in medieval medical theory and dietary practice. Friedman places spice within the intellectual framework of humoral medicine, where food was evaluated according to its effects on the body. Spices were valued not simply for flavor, but for their supposed capacity to warm, balance, and preserve bodily health. This explains why they circulated in elite and learned settings as much as in kitchens. Their use reflected the broader medieval belief that consumption was a matter of regimen and bodily management, not just appetite. The book therefore links culinary history to the history of knowledge. It shows how doctors, household managers, and consumers could share assumptions about what spices did and why they mattered. This perspective distinguishes the book from accounts that treat flavor as a modern aesthetic category. In the medieval world, taste, health, and hierarchy were intertwined, and spices sat at the center of that relationship. Lastly, why spice history helps explain medieval culture as a whole, Friedman uses spice as a lens for understanding larger features of medieval society, including status, belief, commerce, and intellectual life. The book demonstrates that a small group of imported substances can reveal much about how a civilization organized value. Spices help explain elite consumption, but they also illuminate how medieval Europeans connected material goods to moral and medical ideas. They show the importance of long-distance exchange in an age often imagined as local and static. They also reveal how Europeans constructed the East as both real and imagined, practical and mysterious. This makes the book more than a niche food history study. It works as a cultural history of an era, using a specific commodity to link economic structures with symbolic meanings. Readers can take away a method, as well as information material culture, can be used to reconstruct social thought. That is what gives the book lasting value within medieval studies and the broader history of food. In conclusion, Out of the East will be most useful for readers interested in medieval history, food history, trade, or the cultural meanings of luxury goods. It is also a strong choice for anyone who wants to understand how historians connect material objects to broader systems of thought. The book offers practical intellectual benefits. It clarifies how spices move through trade networks, how they were interpreted in medical and social terms, and why they mattered so deeply to medieval European consumers. What sets it apart from many books on spices is its emphasis on imagination as much as exchange. Friedman does not just describe a commodity history. He explains how spice became part of Europe's mental world, shaping ideas about the East, the body, and elite culture. That gives the book a wider reach than a straightforward trade narrative. Compared with general histories of food or commerce, it is more focused and more conceptually grounded. Compared with narrowly academic medieval studies, it is unusually readable and thematically coherent. For readers who want a serious but accessible account of how one set of ingredients helped define an age, this book stands out clearly. If you would like to support Paul Friedman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.